out there, podcast lad, and welcome back to Spoilers, your movie review podcast, where your hosts have lots of opinions but zero credentials. I am your host, Hollywood, and I'm joined by the two regulars, Adam and Maestro.
Hello.
Yo.
Oh.
Gotcha.
All right.
That was Adam.
Yeah, I'm Adam.
Really?
Maestro.
Yeah, that's me.
Today we're reviewing a movie that was a user request from a user in Kenya.
Yeah.
From Kenya with Love, that was his headline.
Yeah.
And he gave us a couple movies, but we decided to go with 2010's Repo Man.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by Miguel Sapochnik, starring Jude Law.
Yeah, that guy.
Jude Law, Liev Schreiber making his return, as spoilers, he was Sabretooth.
Right.
Wolverine. Forest Whitaker and Alice Braga. Braga. Meet you with a brief synopsis.
All right.
Before we start. Set in the near future when artificial organs can be bought on credit, it revolves around a man who struggles to make the payments on a heart he has purchased. He must therefore go on the run before said ticker is repossessed.
From what I remember, I believe this movie was actually made from the story of the movie Repo, the musical opera.
Oh, the Repo, the genetic opera?
Yeah, the genetic opera.
It's very similar. Did you ever see that, Adam?
I did not.
Okay, I don't think you would have liked it.
No,
I actually enjoyed it, so you probably would have hated it.
Oh, yeah. Probably then. That's a good way to judge things.
It's a musical about a scientist who takes organs for people.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, like, what it is exactly how the synopsis of this show starts off with. You know, the movie basically is organs and altering parts of the body has now become a fad and also very expensive. But people that do that, sometimes they require an incredibly high price. I think it's variant towards the health insurance companies and stuff like that.
Okay.
The only difference is when most inanimate objects like cars and stuff like that, that don't get paid for, they get repoed by repo men, right?
Yeah.
In this one, it's the organs get repoed while the person's still using them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But by the way, brilliant premise, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is an amazing way to do things. People that need their organs, they get them financed,
yeah,
and they got to pay for them. Once they can't afford it anymore, then we get it back.
Yeah.
It's a very crude way to do things. Yeah. It never happened, I don't think, in real life. But I would like that, I think.
When was this movie made?
2010.
2010. So it was
It's still the financial crisis. It's a big metaphor for it.
So yeah, it was made after the genetic opera.
Yes, yes.
So this
came first.
So basically this movie itself, the idea came from the genetic opera first.
All right.
Interesting. Okay.
That's funny, Maestro, you mentioned that about the inanimate objects. There's a scene in the movie where Jude Law, when you first see Jude Law, he's walking through the union and the sales reps are saying, oh, well, if you can't afford the $685,000 liver, we can make payment options that are more affordable to your lifestyle. And he has a voiceover where he goes, he'll pay. They'll always pay.
Yeah.
And then you'll come see him in 90 days.
Yeah, it's your family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sick banker mentality. By the way, I don't like banks and bankers.
Okay.
So seeing Liev Schreiber and this whole union just fucking had my blood boiling.
Ah, okay. See, I have a question about
those banker tactics.
Based on what he said, I'll see you in 90 days, means they're going to default right away on the payments?
Yeah. Does anyone pay?
Yeah. These are 90-day loans? and then you extend your life for 90 days and that's it? I don't understand how this business could be
profitable.
Lucrative. Profitable if nobody's paying.
Yeah.
I
think it's like any other loan where you'll pay in the beginning and then you're just expected. I read somewhere that banks expect like most of their loans to default. So the money that they receive on the payment, the interest, they're reinvesting it in something else.
Oh,
like they know that a lot of the loans are going to
I also feel like I'm not sure exactly how the paperwork works, but in this movie where this is possible, I believe that there's another thing where they can also possess your belongings as well, or whatever you do own while they also take the thing back as
kind
well.
Kind of like if they could put a lien on your payments,
Collateral. I'll put my hands over collateral.
Exactly, because like they have before they default on the actual payments for the organ, I believe they also can like to get the other stuff taken away from them as well.
Okay.
I think the ones that actually do not get that chance are the ones that actually have nothing to own to begin with.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, getting to the movie then. I got sucked in almost right away. At the beginning, there's a scene with Jude Law doing his repoing, and he puts on the music in this movie. I love the music. This is Rat Pack music that's happening.
Okay.
It's the song Sway. is playing while he's cutting this guy and taking his something. I don't remember what it was in the beginning.
Liver.
Was it liver? Okay. He's cutting the guy open, taking the liver out. He has headphones on. He's listening to Sway, which is not Dean Martin's version, but it's somebody else covering that. And it just I got like, oh yeah, because that's my music. What I listen to when I'm in the car. If I'm not listening to the talk radio or something, it's Rat Pack music. And that, so as soon as I heard Rat Pack type music, I'm like, all right, mm-hmm. I'm in. And then it kept going. And then the Cry Me River was kind of the theme throughout the entire movie. Mm-hmm. It had a couple appearances and like also great song. And then ending the movie with Dream a Little Dream. I listen to the songs all the time. So then hearing them in the movie is just like, all right, sucked me in. Good job. I'm not sure if that was the intention, but you got me. You got me right away that I was into it.
What do you think of that idea that by law I have to ask if you want a ambulance on standby? Yes. Why the fuck would I not want an ambulance on standby? Yeah. You're taking my kidneys. You're right. Taking my liver.
Well, most of the guys are knocked out.
And they're already knocked out when you ask them.
Most of them. There was a scene where he went to go see a Jimmy T or Johnny T or whoever. Was it RZA?
The RZA. It's the RZA.
The RZA? Okay. Yeah. You can't call him RZA?
Yeah, whatever.
All right. All right. The RZA. He goes to take the RZA's heart, I believe.
I thought it was the RZA.
With a D?
Yeah, I think so.
The RZA?
I don't know.
Ah, but boom. Anyway, when he goes to take his heart, he's kind of like conscious for it, and they're having a conversation right before he's about to take it. But we'll get to that part.
Yeah.
So, at the beginning, you find out that him and...
Forrest Whitaker,
they have this very weird relationship. Yeah, at his lazy eye.
All three of them.
It's a three-way relationship. It's very awkward. I actually liked Forrest Whitaker in this role. I usually don't like him because of his eye. I just can't take it like seriously as anything.
You know he has an Oscar, right?
Oh, I'm sure. It was the King of Scotland?
Yes.
Yeah.
Does his eye have the Oscar too?
I think his eye gave a speech.
I beat you to the punchline for Hollywood.
Yeah. Also, the first movie I ever saw him in, I think, was The Crying Game.
Oh, yeah.
Which
he was in that.
Yes. And that was a very weird movie.
Yeah.
And I think every time I see him now, I think Crying Game, and it's a weird kind of association. I'm like, it just feels weird. But every other movie I've seen, he was in, I think, Phone Booth, I didn't buy it. He was in Battlefield Earth, which was also just horrible overall.
He was in The Last Stand, the movie I want you guys to watch, the Schwarzenegger one, where it's the car that's like faster than a chopper. He's the FBI guy there.
Is he also in that one movie where he pretends to be some sort of like samurai in the Bronx?
Yes, Ghost Dog.
Yeah,
that's a badass movie. Well, Ghost Dog. He's a hitman who uses a samurai sword.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like chubby, so I don't understand how.
Neither do I.
He can take the opponents out.
Still badass.
Him being that big.
Yeah, but in this movie, I did like him. Maybe the his character. The lazy eye makes sense somehow. Even though they don't really. Well, he was in the war, but I guess he had it before the war. Yeah. Doesn't matter. I liked his performance. And Jude Law, I wanted to dislike the guy because everyone swoons over him. All the chicks are all crazy about him. But I do like him a lot as well. And in this movie, it was
swoon over him too.
Well, I get it.
Well, okay,
I understand it. But during the opening scene, when he kills the guy, and then like the wife comes up and he shoots her. His whole look in that scene is like, oh, that's badass, dude.
Yeah,
that's that. I get it. I get the swooning.
Does this mean in this world there's no longer organ? Like, you know how it's like, oh, he's a donor. Put him on the top of the list. Does that mean that shit got privatized and now this bank controls?
I guess so.
Damn, that's fucked
up. This is also a possibility that they might be also genetically growing them.
Yeah. So, well, yeah. Remember they go in the lab, in the all white lab, and they all turn like, huh? And you see him making the organs.
It
looks like metal. It looks like when they like the first scene where they take the liver out. It looks like a steampunk liver. That they took out.
Well, this is my thought. Maybe the whole donor thing still exists, and this is how they are able to do it. They take the organs that are donated, they cover them in this metal thing to keep them more durable, make them work better and last longer, and then that's how they can do whatever. Well,
wait, are you trying to tell me that it's his organ, but then they just like revamp it? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, somebody else's organ.
Well, that means that means there's nothing about that organ that's part of this person's original, the host's body.
Right.
Which means that it's still, even regardless of it be metal or be an organ from someone else, it's still considered a foreign body by the immune system.
That's what the metal casing is for. They found a way to science it up to make it universal and durable. This is all fake. I'm just I'm not trying to back up the science at all. It's just this is what my brain is thinking.
Okay.
The donation thing got privatized, like you said. They found a way to make organs for anybody by doing some mechanical thing to it, make it metal, whatever. So maybe give it so it won't get rejected. I don't know. So
Yeah.
I'm on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
The most reliable source in the world.
Right.
And the opening paragraph of this movie pretty much sums up. I think it'll answer everything.
Okay.
Okay. In 2025, a corporation called The Union has perfected biomechanical organs to replace the failed organs, effectively shutting down the needs of organ transplantation and thus creating their own. However, the ruse is that the organs are incredibly expensive, ranging from the prices of $300,000 to $750,000 for a single organ. Credit terms are signed with forced payments. If a customer falls behind on payments, a repo man reclaims the artificial organ from the body. Procedure frequently results in death.
Yeah.
That's the world you live in.
Yeah. See, part of me enjoys that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I like the concept of that.
Yeah. So these two are the best repo men in the business. That's what it sounds like.
Yes, they are.
All three of them.
Yeah, all three of them. Yeah. Everybody knows who they are.
Right.
Like Jude Law walks down the street and everybody's like, oh, shit, got to go the other way.
They got these crazy, awesome looking tattoos.
Yeah, they have the tattoos under their ear.
I don't know what that means, but it's
I guess that signifies repo.
Yeah, union. Yeah.
The way I see it is if you're going to be in the kind of business, you don't want to actually have your face known to the company. I mean, I feel like that's just like an
Because remember he walks through where the sales team is and Leif Schreiber's like, how many times have I told you, don't walk through the front. I don't want people scared off.
Yeah. Exactly.
I want them to buy.
Like in the original movie, before this one, they actually had all the repo men in masks.
Mm-hmm.
So no one knew who exactly the person was.
Oh, okay.
Well, you can't cover up that pretty face and that eye, dude.
Exactly.
For the screen, you got to
display the moneymakers.
What about Jude Law?
Yeah, him too.
Now, in this world, though, there's no cops. Is that true? Because they're pretty much killing people all over the place.
Yeah, and it's legal to kill.
Yeah,
if you're a repo,
right? Bodies are just being laying around everywhere. Mm-hmm. Towards the beginning, there's a scene where a repo gets delivered via taxi cab.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Where
to Jude Law's house?
Yeah, to Jude Law's house and. The eye comes out to do the repo, and the guy he kills the guy in the back of the taxi cab, which I would think is a taxi guy. I better be getting a huge commission.
Yeah.
First, I got to redo the whole upholstery on the inside. It's fucking up the car, and he's got to get rid of the body.
And the taxi company probably owns the taxi, so he's got to explain to the taxi company, hey.
Then you get some guy with a weird accent, like, "What are you doing with my taxi?"
It's stolen.
Yeah.
Okay. My take on it is a possibility that the taxi company is part of the repo company.
Okay. There's probably some sort of a deal they work out.
Yeah, probably. I mean, like, that's the only way I can see that actually feasibly making sense.
Right. Otherwise, how would they have the scanner technology to know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
But there's stuff like this that once it gets out, everyone should know and... All right, I'm never driving a taxi again.
I'm never riding a taxi.
Right, yeah. I'm never going to walk by a taxi.
That's the thing about assuming that it gets out, because the people that take the taxi, they're on the repo, they never get seen again.
Yeah, but they're heading somewhere.
Yeah, they're heading somewhere.
Somebody's expecting. What happened? They got in a taxi cab. They never showed up.
Exactly.
And now they're dead.
Well, yeah, because they probably got repoed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean it's with a taxi. I mean, it doesn't always happen with a taxi.
After a while.
How long is a while?
Someone's going to catch wind. All the neighbors that saw this taxi pull up and the guy get gutted in the back of the seat.
Touche.
The kid came out and recorded it.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's a weird thing that how easily that they can just be killing people. And
that's in my note.
Yeah.
They're allowed to kill?
Yeah.
Question mark.
Right. These are pretty much assassins.
They're like contractors.
Right.
Sent out from a bank. That would be like the fucking like bank teller going out and physically like taking a car himself.
Right.
No, they hire a repo team.
Right. Okay.
This reminds me of that last movie we made, I think in the Grindhouse. I think it was called Death Proof.
Yeah.
How you guys were talking about last time how he could kill but like indiscriminately and getting away with it every time too.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like this is the exact same idea.
Okay.
Yeah. One of my notes is
so they have high insurance rates is what you're saying.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, how do you think they make the money for it?
Do you think in this future, do you think there's going to be like shitty reality shows where they follow repo men around?
Oh, nice.
Liver Wars, Organ Dynasty.
I feel like that's pretty interesting, but it also might take it away from the whole like, you know, the, what's it called? The sting operations where they actually try to get them where
they go to the nest.
Exactly. Right.
I was trying to do a bit, but yeah.
Ah, sorry.
Then get that.
It's okay, Maestro.
No, missed it completely.
All right.
One thing I wrote down in my notes was one of the salesmen told him, now going through the paperwork, you'll be paying a 23.6% APR. I'm like, 23.6 APR on a $600,000 loan? Holy shit.
That's why they.
No wonder you're
going to
repo.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
That's like student loan fucking APR, dude.
Yeah. Now, the weird relationship that Forrest Whitaker, his eye, and Jude Law have with each other, they grew up in the war together. So they have apparently they never left the war is something that, that is mentioned. So they have this weird mentality about doing things. They go to do a bust, and right before the bust happens, like, all right, how many guys are you going to get? I get 10. I'll get 12.
Yeah.
They made a game out of killing people. These pretty much they're going around who can kill the most people in this situation.
Yeah.
It's a very dark way to be thinking.
Yeah.
And for Jude Law to have this kind of mentality to then later, to maintain a wife and child,
I can't
imagine that's possible.
Well, the wife doesn't want him to do repo anymore.
Right.
She wants him to transfer to sales where it's more stable.
True.
But I guess repo make more money because Forrest Whitaker said, you won't make as much as repos.
Right. But as much money as he makes, he can't afford to. Okay, so all right, we'll get to that.
So this company offers replacement organs, right?
Yeah.
He can't get an employee discount to get a new eye?
Right.
So isn't the reason why they do that is to keep him into repo because he doesn't want to leave? Because they don't want him to leave?
Yeah, well, we find that out at the end of the movie.
He's supposed to be the best. You don't want your best to leave.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the whole point.
Yeah. Well, we find that at the end of the movie that, he goes to the RZA's house to get his heart back because he's past due.
And he's a fan of his music.
Yeah. So
in this world, he plays a musician.
Yeah. Right. In this world.
Did he Ice Cube it?
No. That'd be great if he was cutting like a song from Wu-Tang in there when he walks in.
He's like, what is this? Oh, you don't know what the Wu-Tang Clan is?
Right.
And so, the GZA shows up?
The GZA. See, ODB died not from an overdose, but from being repoed.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that's what happened. So he goes to take his heart, and I guess he has to defibrillate it first.
Mm-hmm.
And the defibrillator goes haywire. He gets knocked across the room,
mm-hmm.
and there's a pretty cool scene where he's like, "I've been knocked out 3 times in my life."
And they show the 3 times,
the flashback of how it was like once in the war, then once after the war in a bar fight, and then this time was the 3rd time.
Yeah,
which I thought was a pretty cool scene.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of really good scenes in this movie.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it quite a bit. I'm going to do some complaining in a little while about some scenes. But overall, this, I think, was very well done, very put together, very well thought out movie.
It's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
The concept is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice copy.
Now, before we get into the complaining part.
Yeah.
Would this exist in your world in the future?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I can see this being reality.
Okay.
Because it followed the regular rules. There wasn't some sort of super things happening and super exaggerated explosions.
You worried about the explosions?
No, I'm talking about the Grindhouse movies.
Yeah, I know.
So many explosions.
Wow.
Like, all right. Get a hold of yourself, guys.
Mm-hmm. So Jude Law has to get a new heart himself.
Right. Because of the knockout, the defibrillator knockout blast, I guess somehow electrocuted in himself.
Yeah.
And his heart exploded or something. So they got him on a repo heart.
Explosions?
Right.
Top of the line heart.
Top of the line, yes. Very nice. And
I think Liev Schreiber, he killed it in this role. He did a really good job.
Amazing.
As a banker.
Yeah. Awesome dude.
Smooth talking. Where, later on in the movie, he goes, get me out of the system. Give me your heart.
Yeah.
If not, I can set up a payment plan that can fit with your lifestyle.
Right.
He's still selling them.
Yeah. Well, and that's the part where you find out he's like super dicky.
Mm-hmm.
At this scene where in the hospital, he's like, come on, we got your new heart. And he gives him the sales line.
Yeah.
You owe it to yourself, you owe it to your family. And like, fuck. He hears that line every single day about people getting duped. And he used it on him. He's like, you fucking. And even Forrest Whitaker and his eye were very upset about it when they took him outside. Like, that, you're such a dick. Why you gotta say it like that? Like, mm-hmm. what? Like, he doesn't even know. He has no idea that he's being a douche.
Yeah.
But yeah, very, very good. So he gets the heart. He's upset about having the heart. He tries to pull his heart.
Valve.
Tubes out,
uh-huh.
and then he passes out. I feel like that should have killed him.
Yeah,
but I don't
know. Seems like he was only alive because of those things that are
exactly
pumped into him.
Right, so he takes it out. He falls over, and he should have died, but I guess they fixed him up.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have my in my notes here that no break for employees as well.
Yeah.
Working for this company.
You think you get a little break. Maybe a 12% APR?
Right.
At that?
Or maybe not even charge them. Put it on the company thing or whatever.
Yeah, but like that's what you were saying, and that's what I explained earlier about it.
They're bankers. They will eat their own can if
that's
after.
True. Yeah.
Okay. People are greedy as fuck.
Thank you for
even in
that
the future.
Third time.
Damn it.
Yeah.
All riled up.
Right. So this guy,
he already knows he can't pay. Like he already knows. Like I got 3 months.
Yeah, but how does he? Isn't he doing very well? One of the best guys making all kinds of money. I would assume that he should be able to put like pay for half of it at least right away.
But we find out when he goes on a repo with Forrest Whitaker, he can't do it no more.
Right.
His hand's all shaky. And
I'm talking about like back money that he's already earned.
He should have accumulated.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how they pay him. Do you think they pay him per hit?
Trident? Yeah, it's per hit. It's pink slips.
Okay.
Every day they get pink slips where they got to pull things in. Uh-huh. Also, if they happen to find someone out in the world, that's extra. That's like bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
Like they uncovered a den of people that were going to try to get shipped out of the country.
Yeah.
And they brought in a bunch of parts and they got some jamming equipment, which comes into play later. And then they got extra bonus for that. Mm-hmm. And at that point, this is right before he goes to go see Jimmy T, where he offers him a promotion. Like, hey, you guys can be like on salary mm-hmm. instead of this whole pink slip bullshit. Do what you want, whatever you want. And Jude Law's about to say, I'm out. Get me in sales. Forrest Whitaker's eye gets a little upset about it. And then he like tells him, no, let's just think about it. Let's just relax. And then at that point, it starts getting weird. Well, I guess it's been weird.
Well, no, I want to see what happens.
Well, they go to the raid. They raid that, what is it, a hen, a den?
Den, yeah.
You want to call it a hen?
I don't know. I guess I'm trying to think of, oh, it's a nest.
Nest, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is where you find out Jude Law can't do it.
Right.
Because his hand's all shaky, and he feels like he's one of them now.
Yeah.
Because he has a Art of Frog, is that what they're called?
Yeah.
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 Art of Frog. And his hand's all shaky, and Forrest Whitaker's like, you've done this 1,000 times!
Yeah.
Was it him that said it?
Yeah. Forrest Whitaker said it.
Yeah.
Like, he freaks out. He's like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. So at that point, he goes into sales, and then isn't getting paid enough, I guess. By the way, his wife's gone at this point? Is that true?
Yeah.
Because he went back to repo.
Yeah.
So she left.
Oh, no. The night that he went to go get the RZA's heart, that was supposed to be his last day on the job.
Okay.
But they said, I'll just do it anyway. And he's like, oh, okay. I think that's why she left.
Okay.
Because he already told her, I'm out. And then, I'll just do it one more. One more can't hurt.
Yeah. So he comes back home after having the Art of Frog in his chest. And the wife changed the locks on him. So he's out of that life already. So I don't know what he's doing. Where is he staying?
Who would want the best repo man to stay with you? I'd be terrified, dude.
Yeah. Well, as long as you didn't have any Art of Frogs.
Yeah.
Art of Frogs?
Which it seems like everyone in the society has
something
one.
Along that line.
It does.
It seems like everyone has one.
Again, how does this company stay in business, though, if nobody's paying? I'm assuming these are very expensive parts to make. If you're selling for that much, then a lot went into that. But if all you're doing is repoing every single – then the money that you're paying the repo guys, where does that come from?
Yeah.
Where do you get the money to research all this crap? It seems like nobody's paying. Mm-hmm. Everybody has – just like, oh, all right, you have another week left before – everyone's either – delinquent or about to be delinquent.
Yeah. Well, let's think about it this way. You don't, when they repo it, they still get the parts back. Mm-hmm. So they don't lose any product.
Right.
They also.
Oh, yeah, because they're scanning it in and then Lee Schreiber's like, be careful with the barcode next time.
Mm-hmm.
All they're really doing is for the 90 days that they're making payments for, that's all they're really collecting on.
Okay.
So really, they don't lose money.
Okay.
Their products that they make, they don't lose either.
Now, there's a scene that happens at the beginning of the movie that. It's like I was saying with the last one, it telegraphs what's something that's going to happen. At the beginning, there's a commercial that plays on a TV station about implanting memories in your head.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of Total Recall-esque.
Yes.
And it just showed it, and it's like, what? That seemed weird and out of place, so it must mean something. Uh-huh. It's just one of those like, okay, something's going to happen with this whole dream sequence at some point. And then I forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about it because they did a good job of just kind of, well, I don't know if it was a good job because I thought this is going to mean something.
Yeah.
Which probably shouldn't have been the intention. But then with all the things happening, it kind of distracted me to like, all right, I forgot about all that. So he is 3 days away from getting
repoed himself.
Repoed, right. And he's going through the slums for some reason. Why is he in the slums at some point?
Oh, or he meets that chick?
Yeah.
The one was it
Bethany?
An auxiliary jackhead ear.
Yeah. That's right. This is the girl that, and in the beginning of the movie, was singing "Cry Me River" in the bar, and
yes,
yeah, I was like,
and she's
great.
Fucked up, dude. She has like a fucked up leg,
everything.
She got an auxiliary jack ear.
Is it like a knee? It's her knee, right?
Yeah. She had like 19 parts,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, and it's all like black market stuff,
right?
Because she's off the grid. I think she said, like, well, she's a wanted, you know, person to find.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, most of her shit's from the black market.
Yeah, so he's walking through the slums and he hears the Cry Me River girl singing Cry Me River to herself. And he's like, where'd you hear that song? Where'd you hear that? Mm-hmm. I don't know why he's so upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like interrogating her. Where'd you hear that song? And then she passes out and then he takes care of her. And now, I don't know how much time has gone by because there had to have been...
87 days.
Well, see, but... Has it been 90 days from when he got the heart thing, or was he making some payments and then 90 days happened?
Because isn't it the way loans work is you're delinquent for 90 days. So that means, I think that means he missed his first payment.
Right.
And then he missed.
Well, but was he making payments before that? And then all of a sudden he didn't have enough money? Because he told Forrest Whitaker's eye about, I'm falling behind on the payments. Uh-huh. He told it that at some point I'm falling behind, yeah. Which means I guess he was making payments at some point.
Yeah.
So, the thing that I'm trying to make sense in my mind is the length of time between his wife, who he's in love with, leaving, and him shacking up with a new chick, to the point where
I'm sure it's a little past 90 days.
Okay, so within 3 months, 4 months at the most, maybe even five, that he's now all in love with a new chick and just forgot about his wife.
It's possible.
Could be more.
I guess this guy's also. Killing people for a living, so maybe his sense of morals aren't.
Yeah.
All right. I just feed him.
He's living dangerously, dude.
Yeah.
So he wants to be a writer now. He wants to document his time in the repo business. So he got a typewriter. He's typing
for the next TV show, the Liver Wars.
Yeah. he's gonna be the producer on that.
Right.
And the union sends a repo after him.
Yeah.
And this must have been a scene. When I saw this, I was like, oh, what's Adam gonna say about this?
Yeah.
The typewriter.
Yeah, they
send a repo guy to kill him.
Yeah,
and she's running, and he falls through the floor,
which was stupid.
A weak point.
Even before that is the thing you mentioned with the auxiliary jack in her ear.
Yeah,
where they're sitting in the room, and she's like, "Do you hear that? What?" And he's trying to hear. He's like, "Oh, just listen to this," and he plugs his headphones into her own ear, which I'm not sure how that works.
Because isn't that inputting sound not?
Well, the jacks have input and output.
Oh, okay.
If you look at the jack part of it, there's okay. I have these two lines on there. One line is for audio. One line is for microphone.
Okay.
Or input versus out.
Okay.
Just simple. Doesn't matter. She plugs it in, and I don't know. I'm not sure what she hears.
Doesn't she hear him?
She hears footsteps.
Yeah.
The guy's not making. Okay. So it couldn't be some random person.
Yeah.
I hear the repo's footsteps.
Yeah.
What? Because the brand of shoes that they have, they make certain sounds. I don't know. So they decide to make some sort of ploy to trap this guy.
Mm-hmm.
They put a mat over the floor, which the room they were in, I guess, had a hole in it the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like they should have picked a different room that didn't have a giant hole in the floor to be shacked up in. But the guy falls through the floor, and then the floor falls, and she falls and fucks up her knee. And then he goes down there to then proceed to fight with the guy, which this guy's kind of schlubby.
Yeah. Doesn't seem like a good repo.
Yeah, but then again, Forrest Whitaker's also pretty schlubby.
Yeah.
But I guess, I don't know how, maybe it's the weapons.
Maybe.
Because they don't seem like they're very able to take down people very well. But I guess because he has war training, maybe, but whatever. He ends up killing this guy, takes off a piece of his skin, and then, what was that? then he goes to Sabretooth. And he shows him the skin, like, every time you send somebody after me, I'm going to kill him.
Yeah.
And so, stop.
Because he goes back to how does he kill the guy?
The typewriter on the face.
Yes.
Yeah.
The guy falls two levels down.
Right.
And he's going to get the gun and shoot the girl who also fell down there.
Yeah.
And then, boom, a typewriter just lands on his head. Was that your turnoff moment?
It, well, I'm already enjoying the movie too much to want to turn it off. But that was
a great idea.
It seemed weird.
I thought I thought brought everything full circle.
Did it?
Yeah.
Well, how?
The typewriter. I mean, remember, because you were saying like he was gonna land directly on top of the guy's head, finishing the whole thing by the repo, going back and forth all the whole thing. No,
I don't.
Why are you? Well, Hollywood, you were like actually nodding with you. What's going on? Now you don't understand what?
No.
Oh. Move on.
You're being a wrench, accessory to wrench.
No. There's only one wrench here.
Well, they do go back to Lee Shriver, and he tells him, "Get me out of the system." And he goes, "Give me your heart."
Well, how does he get into the building?
Well, he goes to the parking garage and he steals the lung costume.
Right.
Where's
that?
There's people walking around this bank like, "Oh, it's Larry the Lung."
Yeah.
Get a new lung today. So he steals the kid's lung costume. He's trying to scan. He's doing something with the barcodes. I forget. And it took me 3 days to watch this movie.
Oh,
like
okay.
Act one, I would watch day one. Day two. Like it's, I struggle to go through this movie.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Just because I was busy.
Okay.
So they go, and then he steals jammers from the union.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I believe that the place providing the organs would have jammers in there. Sure. I'll buy it.
Well, he confiscated it. Yeah. It's just back in the...
In the
vault?
Yeah.
Or no, it was in a
evidence
drawer.
Room? I don't know. Ah. They take that because they're going to plan on leaving the country. They're going to go somewhere where the union isn't. They said Panama or...
Yeah.
Somewhere in Africa.
Now,
is this a worldwide organization? Or is this just an American bank?
I'm missing a part here in my head somewhere.
Uh-huh.
He goes back first to threaten the guy, and then he goes back again later to try to delete the barcodes, or is that all in the same time?
It's all in the same time.
No, because when he goes up to threaten the guy, the girl's in the car waiting, isn't she? And the second time, the girl's at home.
Yeah.
So he goes to threaten the guy, get off me. No. All right. Let's go back home. Talks to the girl. Oh, I got this a great idea. I'll go in and I'll delete the barcodes. So then he goes back a second time, breaks in late at night now, to start scratching off the serial numbers on the barcodes and entering it manually. So the system thinks that they've already been repoed.
Yeah.
Then Forrest Whitaker catches him. Now this is like 2 days before he's supposed to get repoed. So this is actually before. Hold on.
Are you confused?
I'm confused. I'm confused with this timeline. Before his repo is up, he goes in to try to do the scanner thing.
Yes.
And then after the repo is up, then he goes with the guy's skin.
In the costume.
Yeah.
And then he takes the jammers.
Right.
So they go to the airport. And I guess you get scanned at the airport if you have a Bitfrog. What is it called?
Aerofrog?
Artifrog.
Artifrog.
If you have an Artifrog in your system, they're going to catch you.
Okay.
Which is like, damn, the bank controls the airport too?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Maybe this is the government.
Yeah.
It's not. Maybe it's not a bank.
Well,
whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like it's taking a place to the health insurance company for the U.S.
Okay.
How pretty much at some point in time before like everything with Obama and everything's been going on right now, they pretty much ran the entire system. So everyone had to have insurance. Everyone had to have this. And it was ridiculous payment prices.
Okay.
Are you saying this is our future as a result of Obamacare?
No.
Everyone needs organs?
No. No. Maybe. I don't know.
That's what the website's for. You log in to, I don't know. So,
what?
But there was a scene when he was trying to delete the barcodes where Forrest Whitaker shows up, and then him and his eye have a very intense conversation about how it's supposed to be like, all right, this is a bad idea, man. And he's like, it's a weird thing because they're supposed to be very good friends, but at the same time, Forrest Whitaker is being kind of a dick to Jude Law. Like, it's over. Somebody's gonna come get you. It's gonna be you. Maybe not me. Maybe it is me. A job's a job. That's something they keep referring to. A job's a job. So in other words, no emotions, even though we're friends. If I get the pink slip, I'm going to take you down. So
because a job's a job.
Yeah.
That's what they keep saying.
Right. It's a weird kind of mentality, weird relationship that they had where they're super close to now they're just kind of like enemies of each other instantly. Again, I feel like if Forrest Whitaker cared enough about him, then he would help him with payments, help him figure something out, maybe find a way to game the system also with him instead of just being a shill for the company. But then again, I guess they're just that crazy, brainwashed banker people. I don't know.
It's goddamn bankers, dude.
Yeah. Okay, so they're trying to escape to the airport then.
Yeah.
With the jammers.
Yep.
They make it through, and then the fucking stupid people are like, oh, your leg's bleeding. Her knee's bleeding like crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty bad. Like
blood all over the floor. Yeah.
I feel like...
No, she's fine.
Yeah,
she's fine.
Happens all the time.
I feel like if they were like this for that amount of time, she would have passed out from blood loss.
Well, half her body's machine.
That's true. That's
maybe she evolved into like a higher being.
Ooh. Wait, higher being? Are you telling me the machines are higher being now?
Yes, Skynet.
Mm.
Oh. So they get in the airport and then they get pulled aside into the security room.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a fight scene and suddenly they're outside the airport.
Yeah.
Security's pretty crazy now at the airport,
mm-hmm.
minus all this future technology. I feel like it would be even crazier then for them to get out of the airport would be impossible.
Yeah.
There's no way they're going to just like, oh, kill three guards and then just walk out the front door. I don't know. It's one of those weird like, okay, how did that happen?
You're just going to have to accept it.
Yeah. Like, okay, I guess they're out.
Yeah.
But that just seemed like a really big plot hole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you get out of there? I don't know.
Well, he's the best. Maybe he did something to get them out.
All right.
Sure. I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
You don't see what happens. You just see him get out.
Right. So the next step is...
They go to a black market doctor, and he fixes her knee.
Right. A kid.
Yes.
A child, a surgeon. Prodigy.
Like a Doogie Howser.
Yeah, 12 years old or something. Or yeah. Something.
NPH,
yeah.
Man.
Mm-hmm. NPH?
Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh.
Doogie Howser.
I thought you mispronounced PhD.
Nope. Oh, actually, an PhD. There we go. That's cool. All right.
And then the big twist comes at him.
Yeah.
We find out Forrest Whitaker rigged the defibrillator to keep him in the system as a repo.
Right.
So this is your best friend. You don't want to see him go. So you're going to rig the defibrillator on the chance that he could die.
Yeah.
So you're willing to, because you don't want him to go to sales.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to rig something that could possibly kill him.
Right.
At least if he's in sales, you could still visit him. Hey, what's up? If he's dead, he's gone forever.
Are you sure you're taking it from that point of view correctly? Maybe the reason why is because Jude Law is one of the best, and Forrest Whitaker wants Jude to be by his side when he does
stuff. Well, yeah, he said, I want you to be my partner.
Yeah, right. But I don't think it's for like personal reasons such as like, oh, you're my friend. I think it's because it's a job, and he wants to make sure that he comes out alive in every single one.
No, well, because had he not gone through the shell shock and not be able to repo anymore, then he probably would be making enough money to make the payments and would live. But because he had to go to sales, wasn't making enough money, that's why he became delinquent on the payments, and that's why he has to die now. Yeah. Forrest Whitaker wasn't counting on that. He was counting on him, all right, you're screwed. Now you need to be a repo to pay for the repo inside of you.
Okay.
But that didn't work out, so now he's screwed. So, he essentially fucked over his best friend pretty badly. Okay. So then now the place that they're in with – what's that guy's name? He was a clown in Spawn.
John Leguizamo?
The Pest.
Yeah, that's the guy, right? That's the black market dude?
That's like 40-something. That's like 40-something years old.
Yeah.
Might have been.
It looked like him anyway. I don't know.
38 maybe.
But the black market gets crashed by – Forrest Whitaker.
Mm-hmm.
Forrest Whitaker finds out where they are. How'd you find me? I found you the way you'd find me. All right. I guess that explains it.
Awkward silence.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's like, what? So how was that though? I mean, you just assumed, let's just find this black marketplace with John Leguizamo and just case the joint. So there's a fight scene that breaks out between Jude Law and Forrest Whitaker's eye. And then at some point, he loses consciousness. Jude Law gets knocked out on this grate. And then there's this weird scene of like flashbacks that happen. And then he comes to, and the girl's there. He, I guess, shot Forrest Whitaker with one of those stun gun things.
Stunners, yeah.
Yeah, then they continue to escape. They start leaving the place, and he's killing everybody and shooting up everything and escaping. And then they get the brilliant idea, all right, let's break into this place a third time and try to just take down the whole system. They want to disable Skynet now is what's happening.
They're going to wipe the accounts of everyone.
Yeah. So, and scorched earth policy, which was mentioned in a conversation with his son, that,
Okay. Oh?
Well, they get to the company, and there's like 20 guards or whatever standing in the way between them and the pink door, which I guess is access to the files.
Mm-hmm.
He kills all of them with knives, hammers, hacksaws, in like the weirdest ways. And like, and he just reaches back. The girl happens to hand him something, and like, all right, here we go. Yeah. And there's like stabbing, and if these are all like trained people, they should be able to take down one guy. And why does nobody have guns? the one gun is with the chick. She's shooting guys coming in through the back, and he's just slicing people in weird ways. That was a really
interesting. Yeah,
that was very contrived. It's very bullshit.
It's very 300 looking. Where they just basically keeps on going. He's like perfect every single time.
Yeah, but those guys had swords and shields and stuff. This guy's got two knives.
What?
He's got two knives. Yeah. Well, but what happened to shaky hands?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're not on the repo list, so then he's not one of them anymore.
Okay.
Now he's on the other side.
So why can't he get a job for the anti-repo team?
There's no anti-repo
men.
There's no anti-repo team.
Yeah. The resistance, man.
I think you're confusing yourself. Huh? There's no such thing as a resistance.
This isn't the equilibrium future.
Oh, damn
this
it.
Is the repo men future.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no gun katas in this movie.
Yeah. So they finally get into the pink room, and there's no console. There's no way to hack. So what they got to do is they got to scan off all their artificial things.
Yeah.
So they start cutting each other open.
Wait, real quick.
Yeah.
You lift out one key thing that's going to come up later.
Okay.
He sees his son at the train station, and he gives his son a copy of his manuscript.
Okay.
Because that'll come into play later.
Okay.
Well, nothing important, but just find out later his book got published.
Oh.
So now the world knows the life of like what the bank is like and the repo man. Okay. Continue.
All right. Yeah.
It's an organ scanner. So the only way they can access the system, they got to cut themselves open.
Yeah. This.
Which is how the fuck. So if Liev Schreiber wants to access these files, he has to cut himself open? That's a horrible computer mainframe.
Yeah. Well, it's
why would you do that?
I guess it's not even a mainframe. The data, you can't access the data. All you can do is scan things.
Yeah.
So where are the files then? That's not a mainframe. Yes. That's a depository.
Uh-huh.
That's all it is.
Where are they going?
Yeah.
Like, where does the data go?
Go there.
Yes.
Go to that place. Oh, this is the wrong room. Let's go find the other room then. No, let's just hang out. Just cut each other open. See how it happens.
Could be fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they start cutting each other open, scanning everything, and then Forrest Whitaker's eye and Sabretooth eventually get into the room. And they get there by the time that everything's already been scanned. So like, all right, so there's no need. So, okay, we're done here. But Sabretooth still wants to kill him. Mm-hmm. And then Forrest Whitaker's eye stabs Sabretooth in the face, and he dies.
Yeah.
And then Forrest Whitaker tells Jude Law, scorched earth policy, man. Just like he told the kid. Which he was not in the room for.
Mm-hmm. So how did he know?
He know? At that point, Ezra would be like, wait a second. Something's up. This is fucking weird. Well, you find out at this point, they blow up the Skynet. Everything's fine. Mm-hmm. The Flash 2, them on the beach, enjoying themselves. And while they're on the beach, the girl starts glitching out. Like from Wreck-It Ralph.
The glitch?
Yeah, the glitch.
Vanellope.
Yeah, Vanellope starts glitching out, and it's like, what? Then it cuts back to the room where Jude Law got knocked out at the beginning of the raid of the black market thing, and he's got that dream.
The ocular
dream
something thing that they mentioned earlier.
Right. The total recall thing, yeah. So the everything that happened after that point was in his mind. It was his dream.
So Sabretooth never got killed.
Yeah.
They didn't blow up Skynet.
No.
It was all a dream.
Yeah.
And I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that when movies end that way.
Why?
Because it's such a cop-out. Like, how do we end this thing? Oh, it was all a dream.
What?
Oh.
Well. Oh, okay.
If it was all a dream, then what the fuck was the point of me watching the last, like, 45 minutes of the movie?
Yeah.
If there were no stakes or anything, if you just throw this bullshit ending, like, it never happened.
Interesting.
It was all in your mind.
Well, I like the fact that it's not a happy ending. That I do enjoy. Because it's rare that movies do that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so the main character that was about to be victorious, yeah, he's dead. It's over for him. All right. Congratulations. I like that. I like bad endings.
Mm-hmm.
Was it bad? Not bad.
No. Well, no, because
not happy
Forrest
endings.
Whitaker's eye paid for his heart.
Yeah.
So he's off the books.
Right.
I don't know about her. She has like 15 organs in her system.
Yeah.
I feel like he's
part two.
He's goody two shoes, right?
That's Repo Woman, the sequel.
He'll die for the Union, right? Like,
yeah.
He's like, wouldn't he, I don't think he'd put her under the thing too, Paradise.
Yeah.
He would rat her out.
Right. So at this point, Forrest Whitaker came in and killed everybody with the intent of saving his friend.
I don't know.
If he paid for it, just like, seems this is a very elaborate thing that he did.
Yeah.
He came in, he killed everybody in the black market thing just to eventually pay for his friend's liver. Why not do that in the first place? This is a very weird friendship.
Yeah. And then ends with Sabretooth giving sales pitch about the ocular paradise
right.
system.
That's what happens when you have a
Wasn't there a Bruce Willis movie where like you were in a like,
Looper?
You pretended you were like in a
surrogate
body. Yeah.
Yeah. Surrogate man.
That's what that technology reminds me of.
Okay.
Where you live the life of another
I like that movie.
Person, sort of.
Surrogate.
I didn't see it.
Well, you're living your safety.
It was pretty ridiculous. It was okay. pretty ridiculous, but it was a fun movie.
Okay.
And of course it had Bruce Willis, so
it's always fun for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that was Repo Men.
Yes.
Any closing thoughts before we move on to the usual?
I really liked it.
Ah, buddy.
I liked it a lot.
I liked the concept. To me, part of it was boring.
Okay.
And the whole dream, it was all dream. I don't like movies or shows that end that.
Yeah.
But I like the concept.
Okay.
I've already heard the concept even before this movie came out. Yeah. So it was, for me, it was just like, okay, whatever. But the fact that they switched that around is like, what? What? It doesn't even make sense. There's no purpose.
Yeah. So this was like The Purge was for us, where like, great concept. Yeah. You just totally fucked it up.
For me.
For you.
Not for you.
Yeah, no, the concept was great. Delivery, I think, was good.
Okay.
For me, I came in there like pretty much half-cocked because I already saw the musical before that. So for me, it was like, okay, I already know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was our opinion on it. Like I said at the top of the show, we have lots of them, but we don't have any credentials. Now we're going to hear opinions from people who have credentials, critics. Do you want to hear the good reviews or the bad reviews?
We did bad last time. Let's do good this time.
All right.
Okay. Rene Rodriguez of Miami Herald says, the sci-fi thriller Repo Man gets off to a sluggish start. But wait, you have to give the movie time to find its groove and establish its premise.
And then flip it around and do
that. I feel like they established the premise very early on.
Sure. Tom Long of the Detroit News says, Repo Man, rough though it is disturbing enough, funny enough, and shocking enough to work on some strange level.
Okay.
That doesn't sound like a good review.
No.
Peter Howell of the Toronto Star says, at least a robotic hand clap is due to director Sapochnik for working within his limitations, including obvious budgetary ones, and giving this Frankenstein beast as much forward momentum as it possesses.
What's a budgetary?
I don't know.
Budgetary.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say budgetary?
Yeah.
Budgetary.
Yeah.
Sorry. bad reviews. Claudia Puig of USA Today says, why good actors like Forrest Whitaker and Liev Schreiber have taken major roles in this wrong-headed effort is perhaps the most compelling question poised by the film.
Interesting.
Robert Abel of the LA Times says, there's a key organ missing from the movie itself, a brain. In its place is a memory bank of other better movies.
Oh, no. Wasn't that bad.
Finally, Justin Chang of Variety says, this ultra-gory, speculative noir is, at its infrequent best, certifiably nuts. The rest of the time, it's one numbingly brutal.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, here we go.
This is part of the show where we make the guys get a score of Rotten Tomatoes.
This is, I'm going to win this one, Adam.
Are you?
Yes.
So, okay. Those for you unfamiliar with Rotten Tomatoes, it works like this. It's a score based on an average of critics and users. If a score gets 0 to 59, it's rotten. 60 to 84, our system,
right,
is fresh. 85 and up is certified fresh.
Yeah.
So do you want to guess the audience or the critics, the tomato meter?
Let's do the audience first.
Okay.
All right, why don't you go first, Maestro? What do you think?
I'm going to go for 35%.
Okay.
Okay.
He's holding up our official Rotten Tomatoes rotten
sign. Yes. From the Kamikaze?
Yes.
Although I enjoyed it, I feel like people wouldn't enjoy it as much as I did. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go super bad. I'll go a 61, so just enough to be fresh.
41%. It's rotten in the eyes of the audience.
That means I'm closer than you are, right?
Yeah.
Now the critics, the tomato meter.
Okay, critics, right,
right off the bat.
Rotten still? Yes.
Oh, no.
What's your number?
45.
Okay.
I want to give this one fresh again still, because great performances, at least.
All three of them?
Yeah, all four of them.
Oh, yeah.
You got Sabretooth, Forrest Whitaker, and his eye, and Jude Law.
The actress, the chick with the fucked up one?
Yeah.
Do you know what movie she was from?
No.
What other notable role? She was in I Am Legend.
Oh.
She's the chick who shows up with the kid.
Right. The one of the three characters in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
All right.
So, Maestro is 45%.
45, full rotten.
All right. I'm gonna go 61 again. Okay. I'm hoping for some freshness.
The critics 22%.
Oh,
rotten.
No.
They hated it.
That's sad.
It feels really good.
So this is exact really opposite of the last movie.
What?
The Grindhouse. Or just everyone loved it for no goddamn reason, and this one everyone hates it for no goddamn reason. My opinion, of course.
I feel like you're just on the opposite side of the fence every single time.
I think that might be possible. If we go back to the history, I think I might disagree with the audience in most movies.
I found some pieces of trivia about this movie. Not a lot.
Okay.
To secure a product placement deal with Volkswagen, the production was required to feature one of their cars for at least 10 minutes.
Okay.
So you saw a lot of Volkswagens driving.
Yeah,
that's why.
Okay.
Moments before the filming of the Chinatown scene, a crew member was approached by a local Chinese person who pointed out to him that all the neon signs with Chinese characters were upside down. A frantic rigging crew proceeded to flip all the signs while the shooting crew shot in the direction of the newly flipped signs.
Wow.
Forrest Whitaker.
That means there's nobody on the crew that's Chinese?
No, guess not.
Wow.
Forrest Whitaker has been studying Filipino Kali for several years under masters such as Dan Inosanto and Richard Bustillo. He utilizes his skills in several fight scenes in the film.
Yay.
All right. Damn. I didn't know he knew how to fight. It's another interesting level.
You didn't see Ghost Dog?
I saw parts, but I don't remember it. It came out when we were in like middle school.
I can't picture it. It doesn't compute.
Picture Forrest Whitaker and his eye.
Right.
And on the samurai sword.
Well, at least he always has a sparring partner.
His eye. Facts. I found a couple facts about this movie. We want to put this film into perspective with other more successful films that were released this year so we can get a feel of how well financially it held up to its peers. This movie cost $32 million to make.
Hmm.
You want to take a guess how much it cost, how much it brought in, I should say.
Based on the horrible reviews, I couldn't have done well. I want to say it cost how much? 30? 35?
32.
32? I'll say 40. It made 40.
I'm going to say 75.
In the U.S., it grossed $13.7 million.
Oh, no.
Overseas, it grossed $4.6 million. So it made lifetime gross $18.3
million. Oh.
The movie debuted in fourth place on March 19th, 2010, and it grossed $6.4 million that weekend. The top film that weekend was Alice in Wonderland with $34.1 million.
The Johnny Depp version?
The Johnny Depp version.
Interesting.
Don't forget, children are customers too.
According to Box Office Mojo.
No, parents are double customers is what it is. Yeah. Children do not pay for shit.
Yeah, that sounds less creepy.
I'm telling
that's
you,
true.
Dude, if you want to make money in Hollywood, you make an animated film.
All right.
That's guaranteed money.
That's why, aren't they making a new Toy Story movie for that sake reason?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
They announced it. This is, according to Box Office Mojo, the website where I get all these numbers for the grosses, this is the 49th highest grossing film in the near future category. This is defined as a movie that takes place within 100 years of its release date.
All right.
The 49th highest grossing film on that list. Number one is I Am Legend.
That's near future?
Near future, yeah.
Oh.
Basically, what could possibly happen, assuming that our world takes some sort of weird turn.
Right.
Within the next 100 years. It grossed like $250 million, so it's number one in that category.
It's like a lot of citywide destruction for 100 years.
Not necessarily.
No, within 100 years.
Yeah, within. Yeah.
Wait, which one? I Am Legend?
I Am Legend.
No. Do you see how much maintenance is done just on roads themselves every year?
Yeah.
Not to mention all the extras work that...
And there's no people to cut the lawns or...
Right, but there's also no people to drive on the freeways and need them to be maintained.
That's also going to be done with weather, rain, anything. Yeah. Don't forget, what if it became acid rain? What if the trees actually started growing roots that were not cut out, and then we kept on going all over the place, causing damage to the infrastructure?
What if they had air frogs to prevent zombies from coming back to life?
That doesn't happen, especially either if it's considered a magical zombie, or you consider it based upon like a virus.
All right,
Well, in I Am Legend, the book, they're vampires.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. That's why in the movie, they don't come out during the daytime.
Oh, okay.
They have that characteristic of vampires.
In the movie,
they're just cancer survivors who their skin gets burned if they hit sunlight.
All right.
But that's a different movie.
That's fine.
Finally, this was the 126th highest grossing film of 2010. Number one was Toy Story 3.
Oh.
Yay!
This was a request. If you would like your movie to be talked about on the show,
yes,
send it to spoilers@ratpackpodcast.com.
Yep.
You can watch the show on Amazon, not the show.
Right.
You can go to our website.
Not yet.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Yeah. You can watch this movie on Amazon.
Yeah. If you're going to watch on Amazon or on iTunes, even if it's there, go to our website first. Click on the banner on our page. It takes you to Amazon or iTunes, respectively. And it doesn't cost you anything extra, but it helps support the show. We get a little kickback. So do that.
And for next episode, we're not sure yet. We'll make it something,
yeah,
something good.
Yeah.
Something fun.
Yeah, but I want to give a thanks to Martin again for writing in with the suggestions. We'll get to those over the next couple episodes. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
All of them?
At some point, maybe. Okay. Well, I don't know. Yeah.
Definitely the Bruce Willis one.
Oh, for sure, Bruce Willis, man. We might have to space it out, though. We just did Bruce Willis and
he already mentioned it with the surrogates.
No, I understand.
I led him to
that. Yeah, he did. I appreciate
it. That was an alley-oop.
Yeah.
And I slammed it home.
No, that's why I didn't count that. That's why I didn't count that. He did it himself, this one.
Well, that's it, guys. Until next time, this is Hollywood.
I'm Mr. O.
I'm Adam.